Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host Gwyn Sheltermer, and our guest today, Eric Wright. Your novels are all thrillers, Eric, and very exciting. The second one is set in Pakistan, Captives of Manara. Now, is that one autobiographical?
Well, yes and no. Neither the plot nor the main characters really are autobiographical. The novel, it concerns a lost civilization and the modern evil of human trafficking. But the setting does describe Pakistan as Mary Helen and I know it from bringing up our three children there, where we served for 16 years. But what I wanted to do, I wanted to bring a balance between our understanding of Pakistan, because it gets such terrible press. So yes. In the book, yes. I depict the bad, corruption, smuggling, but offset this with descriptions of delightful characters, rich hospitality, and interesting tribal people.
Yes, the young woman who's kidnapped, for instance, and her father. Now, they are very interesting people. Yeah. And they come from a special tribe.
Sort of a Hindu background tribe. They have special dress, red dress, and so on.
So would you say, I mean, Pakistan is very tribal still, isn't it?
Well,
and I guess it's divided by its tribalism to some extent.
To some extent, the four provinces are really divided by the four main languages. See, but there are other minor tribes too throughout.
Yes.
But I wanted to depict as well the archaeological
richness
of the country. We never think of Pakistan as having an ancient civilization, but 3000 BC there was enormous civilization there.
Yes.
Along the Indus River, and 500 sites along there, and only a few have been excavated.
Mm-hmm.
So I depict that in the book.
Yes, it's a really interesting subplot you can't call it a subplot, but it's got great background in the archaeological digs and what have you.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I did. Tell us a bit more about your third novel, Riptide. That has a completely different setting.
Yeah, it's a complete different kind of book. Imagine a couple whose marriage has gone stale after 21 years. She's a marriage therapist who knows she must do something to revive the spark. He's the manager of a large investment fund, and so they reserve a beach cottage on St. Simon's Island, one of Georgia's idyllic barrier islands. The conditions look ideal to rekindle romance. The ocean sparkles with a warm sun. The dolphins cavort in the water offshore. The streamers of Spanish moss flutter in the gentle breeze. And the chapter opens, though, since they're committed church members, in a church. And that's where things devolve into chaos.
Right.
So if you'd like me, I could read some of the first chapter.
I'd love it, yes.
Okay. Craig and I were standing in the congregation at First Baptist Church on St. Simon's Island, Georgia, singing the Bond of Love, when he stopped singing and handed me a sealed envelope. "What's this?" I whispered, as I turned towards him, but he was already striding up the aisle towards the exit. And I should make a note here that the book is written from the female perspective, and I can't mimic that, but it's about this woman. And she goes on to say, "My stomach knotted, the bulky envelope growing heavy in my hand. I stared at it, unthinking, and then glanced at the heavy oak doors. Craig was gone, forcing my mind to focus on something other than the confusion and dread swimming through my head. I realized that the music had stopped, and I was the only one standing. With a flush creeping up my neck, I grabbed my purse and fled. Fortunately, this wasn't our home congregation in New York, where everyone knew us. Outside, I caught sight of Craig getting into a silver sedan. I peered at the driver, a woman, Marley, one of the investment advisors in his firm. What was she doing here? Marley stared at me over her shoulder, grimaced, and then hit the gas. The wheels kicked up gravel as she accelerated out of the parking lot. I stared after them with my mouth open until the fluttering clouds of Spanish moss hanging from the ancient oaks hid them from view. I gazed at the envelope, then jammed it in my purse. No need to read it yet. Instinct told me what it contained. "Sorry, Ashland, but this is not working. I've tried, but I just don't love you anymore. I want a divorce, blah, blah, blah." Our attempt to recover what we'd lost by spending 2 weeks on romantic St. Simon's Island had failed. Was this it, then? 21 years and 2 kids meant nothing? How would I explain to Tiffany and Tyler? Something black and terrible began to gnaw at my insides as I searched the parking lot for our car. Tears coursed down my face. At least he left the car. I fumbled in my purse for keys, opened the door, and jumped in. Skidding out of the parking lot, I drove with one hand and pounded the dashboard with the other. The arrogant brute, Dear John letter during a church service? Real macho. Well, two could play at that game. Gritting my teeth and swiping at the tears I couldn't quell, I drove without thought while rage ricocheted within me. When I ran out of road, I screeched to a halt, slammed the door, and set off down the beach. Oblivious to cruising terns and diving pelicans, I walked aimlessly on the hard sand, kicking at every shell I saw, imagining it was Craig's vaulted manhood. I must have walked for miles, oblivious to my surroundings, until I found myself on a wooden pier staring at the water swirling at my feet. How had my life come to this? The face that stared up at me looked otherworldly, a phantom with red-rimmed brown eyes, wild fawn-colored hair, and a brooding mouth. I reached up to touch the mole on my left cheek to see if it was really pulsating or just the trick of the light. I shivered. "Are you all right, ma'am?" The shout woke me from my brooding. I became aware of the reek of fish and the shriek of seagulls wheeling overhead. I frowned as other sounds pierced my consciousness, the creak of ropes, the scrape of metal, the lapping of waves. I turned towards the voice. "What?" Two piercing sapphire eyes set in a leathery face looked down at me from the deck of a shrimp boat. My mouth fell. Whoa, what was I doing here? "Please, ma'am, move back from the edge of the dock. It's dangerous with the tide coming in so strongly." I stared at my bare feet. They curled over the very edge of the dock. I swayed. A hand reached out and grabbed my arm, pulling me back from the brink. I turned towards the man who had jumped down on the dock to keep me from falling.
Thank you, Eric. Uh-oh. And it goes on from there. I know it gets much more exciting.
She loses her credit cards. Her bank account is frozen. Her husband is being investigated by the FBI.
Oh, that's an excitement.
But just before we close, the new one that you're writing now has gone back to your journalist character, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that one's, where's that one set?
That one is set in Vancouver Island.
Oh.
Yeah, that third of a trilogy.
Yes.
With Josh Radley.
A fascinating character, Josh Radley.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, Eric. Thanks very much. Yeah. And where can people buy your books? Can they buy them?
Well, they can buy them at local bookstores like The Lighthouse, Avid Reader, and other bookstores, or from my website, countrywindow.ca.
Okay.
Countrywindow.ca.
Hmm. Okay, so to connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for whom you might interview in future programs to wordonthehills@gmail.com. And thanks for tuning in. We hope that you'll join us for another program next week.